Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue our current series of studies on the abundant life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, our Lord says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He came to die to put our sins away so that we could be born again into the kingdom of heaven and that we might have a more abundant life. Now, we've been talking about what we are and who we are as a part of that abundant life. We are believers. We are saints. We are members. And today, with the help of the Lord, we want to talk about we are brethren. We are servants. We are friends. We're disciples, we're Christians, and we're sons. And this is all a part of that abundant life. It comes out oh so powerful in the spiritual sense. Now, it's beautiful, even in the earthly sense, all that we enjoy together, but it does not compare what we have in Christ. Now, we have to be a member of the family of God to be among the brethren. Brethren is a family name. It's a family relationship. We enter the family of God by the new birth. We were born into the human family as sinners, and that fits us as a life in this world because it's a sinful world. But it does not fit us. It does not give us that birth that fits us into the family of God, which prepares us for heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when talking to Nicodemus, that wonderful person that we read of in John chapter 3. Let's read and see why the new birth is necessary. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, much less enter into it. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking of it as a natural birth. It's a spiritual birth. And we read in verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our first birth was a birth in the flesh. Our second birth into the family of God is a spiritual birth. And we must be in God's family to enter into heaven. And certainly we see that right here in the third chapter of John's Gospel. Now how? Nicodemus's puzzlement, let's consider it. Some may be puzzled at the broadcast right now. How do I become a part of the family of God? Well, I'll tell you how. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, there's a spiritual birth, and the Spirit of God gives us that birth the moment that we trust in Christ, believing that he died on the cross for our sins. Please remember that our Lord Jesus made this plain to Nicodemus by giving him that wonderful verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son up to be a sacrifice for you and for me. Now, the moment that we believe that Christ died for our sins, we fall in love with the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit of God puts the life of Christ inside of it. That's why it's eternal. Have everlasting life. And he puts the life of Christ in us. And now we're in the family of God and among the brethren, so to speak. All right. Now let's talk about Paul's recognition of the family relation that happens after we trust the Lord Jesus, after the Spirit of God has brought the life of Christ within us. We're born again into God's family. All right, now let's see what Paul says about that in relation, in comparison to the earthly family. Paul's recognition of the family relationship is carried over from the natural into the spiritual. Now here is what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows indeed that are widows, honor widows rather that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews," it even goes outside of the immediate family, "nephews," they're included in the family of God as well. Now here, look what we have here. We have all these different names of people. We have fathers, young men, mothers, sisters, relatives are even recognized in verse 4. Now, Paul recognizes this spiritual relationship, the family relationship. It has a parallel to the earthly family. And all the members of the earthly family are seen reflected in the spiritual family. And that's carried throughout the scriptures. Now, John also reckons the spiritual growth in God's family. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, the Apostle John writes that this matter of being in a family, he goes right along with Paul. Why wouldn't he? The Spirit of God told both men what to write. You wouldn't expect contradiction, would you? He goes right along with Paul, and he talks about the earthly family. Now, this is what he said. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." Now you see, there is spiritual growth. And you and I need to be spiritual growth. Just because we're born into the family of God, we are a perfect relationship to God. But we develop as spiritual children. Peter speaks of those that in the family of God that need the milk of the word to strengthen them, to grow thereby. And there is spiritual growth. Now, you'll notice here, please, there is a comparison between the children in verses 12 and 13. He says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Christ died for us. Our sins are forgiven because he died for them. And then he goes on to write, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, little men," or young men rather, "because ye have overcome the wicked one." And then he addresses the little children again. "I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." Now, if you know the Father, you're his child. That puts you into the spiritual relationship with God. But notice there's an advancement there. First of all, he writes to the little children because their sins are forgiven you. Well, that's where we came into the picture. Those sins were forgiven. And now he says, "I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father." That's above and beyond knowing that your sins are forgiven. That's a part of the abundant life, knowing the Father. And then he says, "I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one." Those young men are the strong ones. Oh, how strong they are. Young men are equipped for spiritual battle. Did you notice? "And I write unto you, little men," young men rather, "because ye have overcome the wicked one." Now the second time that he addresses them, "I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you." Now he tells us this time, what makes them strong? It's the word of God and knowing it. Now he addresses the fathers, "because you've known him that is from the beginning," and there's no change in that address. Because to know Christ is the ultimate of the abundant life. Now let's go on thinking, if you will, please, about our growth. Now Christ's recognition of the heavenly family relationship is a matter of prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 22 prophesied, if you please, that he would be in an earthly relationship. And he calls these people with whom he will be sharing God, his Father, with them. He calls them brethren. All right, here's Psalm 22, if you please, and verse 22. This is prophecy. The Lord is the speaker. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Now, that is repeated in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And we read there, and this, incidentally, is the prophecy verified by the Spirit of God. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Did you notice? Then in Psalm 52, or 22 rather, he calls them brethren. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. We know the same Father. We have the same Father that Christ does. That makes us brethren. And he owns us as brethren. Isn't that wonderful? That he owns us as brethren? Now, we read also, as a continuation of this, in John chapter 20 and verse 17. Our Lord has risen from the dead, just risen from the dead. Mary Magdalene is out there. She's weeping her heart out at the grave, at the open tomb, because she thought somebody had stolen away the body of the Lord Jesus. And she was conscious of the fact that a man was standing beside her. And she said to them, the man said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she told him, "They had taken away my Lord, and I know not where they laid him." And he says one word, "Mary." And oh, she stops. She's shocked. Jesus says unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." You see, the Lord owns this relationship. My Father and your Father, my God and your God. This is a family relationship. He has a right to say that. We have a right to appropriate him. Now, let me give a word of caution. We should never usurp his privilege of calling us brethren by calling him brother in return. Christ is our Lord. And that takes precedence over every other relationship. He owns us as brethren. We have the same Father as he has. But we are not to call him brother. There is no place in the Scripture where the saints of God call the Lord Jesus Christ their brother. It is simply not known. And we cannot do that. Help us to, Father, help us to understand the beautiful relationship we have with you. In Christ's name, amen.